Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Chanice Tennell, for today, Sunday, July 12th. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. I'm hosting solo, so bear with me for those of you who are chatting on Twitter. Just want to remind everyone, the call-in number, if you have a question or a comment, is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Please be sure to press the option to speak with the host if you have a question or a comment. Again, follow our tweet chat on Twitter by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge and Beauty Talk. Now, tonight we have makeup artist Shawn Hatcher on the line with us talking about her new book. So I'm going to bring her on and I'm just going to jump right into the conversation here. Hi.
Hey, good evening.
How are you, Shawn?
I am good. Just bear with my post-nasal drip because I'm having an allergy attack.
Oh, my goodness.
So you might hear a couple of sniffles throughout the thing, but I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. Did you have a wonderful holiday?
I sure did. I slept.
I visited family, but definitely felt like I needed to.
Girl, after writing this book,
yeah.
I need sleep in the worst way. I still need my sleep. I'm so tired.
I know. I was coming off of a show that really wore me out, but, you know, it's all good. The end results are great. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the end results of what you've been working on, and I want to just let you go ahead on and introduce tonight's topic in your own way.
In my own Deshawn way. Well, tonight's topic is about my new book. It's called Assisting Rules, and it's the ultimate guide to assisting makeup artists and hairstylists in beauty, print, and fashion. And it's all about all the people who ask us, I want to be your assistant. Can I be your assistant? Please let me be your assistant. And they don't have a clue as to what that means. So I decided to write a 220-page book on how to be an assistant from soup to nuts, before you even ask, you know, it explains what we do, what assistants do, it explains it all, and then it just jumps all the way into the end when you're done and you're home and it gives you a self-assessment test and makes you think about how to make your job better. So it goes through the whole gamut. So that's what I've been doing for a year and a half of my life.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, I know you just said, you know, a lot of the things that people ask and say, but what was it that made you say, okay, you know what, all the questions that I did, I hear all the complaints or stories, what was it that made you say, okay, you know what, I need to put this all in the book?
You know, when I started writing these blog entries on assisting, and I used to get, like, at first I got a couple, like, 100 hits because it was just a very basic, don't do this, don't do that kind of thing. But when I started writing from, I guess, again, from a key perspective, but more direct, more me, more like how I am, you know, very direct and to the point, and just spoke in my own way, people responded very well to that. And then from a few hundred hits from the first one, then I got thousands. And then the last one I had written, I had gotten, it was very strange. Well, it was not strange, but I had gotten something like 10,000 hits in like a day and a half, which is unnormal because my blog isn't that. It's not worldwide. You know what I mean? It's not.
Right.
I don't have a million subscribers or anything. So to get 10,000 hits on a blog post about assisting and all these people saying, oh, my God, this is so fantastic. I didn't know. I appreciate it. And I just felt like people need to know more about assisting, and there's nothing on it. There's not. You can, mm-hmm. All you have a blog post.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was writing to several people who have, like, these, like, I guess, online magazines. And I wanted to write about assisting because of the way people were responding. And then somebody said, oh, I love the way you write, but we would need it more in a book form. And I said, oh, okay. And then I said, well, hell, I'll write a book. And then that was
right.
It. That was it. I started writing the book.
Now, is this a self-published book?
It's a self-published. Deshawn Hatcher is a publisher. She's an author. She's part graphic designer. What else am I? I'm part everything.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So self-publishing
great,
is something. Self-publishing is no joke.
Right. I'm sure. And so have you been going around, doing signings and speaking?
No, all my signings will be coming up. We're going to have a signing in D.C. Come October, we'll have a signing in there. We'll have a signing here in New York. I'm trying to work my way around
The D.C. one is in October?
The D.C. one should be in October, yeah. We're working out the details now. About where
okay.
we want to have it. But I'll post, you know me, my posting, my crazy posting. So I'll
mm-hmm.
have that all up and, especially from a D.C. people, because I get so much love from the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. They're so just
mm-hmm.
absolutely fabulous to me. So I really wanted to make a special trip out there and see them and sign a book and answer their questions and stuff like that.
Well, we have to see what we can do to get you in Atlanta.
Girl, get me in Atlanta. Yes, and anybody who wants me to come and we'll do like a nice signing, a book signing, and a question and answer, or maybe even a makeup demo would be cool too.
Absolutely.
Just email me and I'll be happy to look it over and see if it's feasible. If I can come out there, I will.
Okay, I'll see what we can work on. So you spent a year working on this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one main thing that you say that you want makeup artists and hairstylists to know about assisting?
You know, there's so many things. I
mm-hmm.
think the one thing I really want them to understand is they are reaching out to key artists that didn't ask for them. Do you know what I mean? We didn't
right.
ask for you to be our assistant. You know what I mean? We didn't put out a internet search for assistants. We didn't ask for an assistant. So that's the one thing I think that I want people who are looking for this type of job to understand. When you're reaching out to us, we don't know you. We've never heard of you. And your professionalism is so important to getting our attention. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many hey girls I've gotten in terms of, hey girl, I saw your work. Oh, I love it. It's cute. Can I assist
right,
you?
Right.
That is not the way to reach out to somebody. This is a physical job. And the minute that you reach out to us, it is
mm-hmm.
It is almost like your first step into your interviewing process.
Right.
Because, again, we don't know you. And if you approach us in that manner, then it's going to, whatever manner you approach us, whether it's a hey girl or whatever, it has to be of the utmost professional. You can't just.
Absolutely.
You know, hit me up on Facebook. Hey, can you look at my Facebook page? Thank you. It's like, no. It doesn't work that way. You're
Absolutely.
Reaching out to us for a job we didn't post, we didn't ask for. And so this, like I said, there's a form of professionalism that you have to have when you do that. And I feel like within this industry, I feel like when you come into this industry, it almost feels like there's no rules. Like when you come, even when I first started, I felt like not so much there weren't any rules, but I came from banking, so I felt like, oh, this is going to be way more relaxed. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be a piece of cake. This is going to be really easy because, oh, my God, you know, you see makeup artists and you see hairstylists, and they seem so chill and so cool and so this.
Right,
so you think
right.
that you, too, can be chill and so cool and so this, and then all of a sudden you reach out to somebody and say, hey, girl, that's not the way to reach out. And that's the thing that, you know, we're not, it's a business, and I think we forget. I forgot for one second. I did, too. I forgot it was a business as well and reached out, hey, and that was not the right way to reach out. It just isn't. So that's the one thing. This is a business that you're entering. You're looking for a job that hasn't been posted. You're reaching out to people that don't know you. And so your professionalism is paramount to trying to land this job. That's the one thing I will say. I want them to be aware of that. I don't think they're aware of that.
And I'm giggling while I'm listening to you because I've had so many hey girl emails that it's not even funny. And, I mean, I've even had one person reach out to me and, you know, because they know your work or they know your name, they act very familiar.
Right.
And she even went to she sent me an email, a long email, and she talked about the things that we had in common, and then she went on to ask for all of my contacts, and I think I've shared this several times before on this show. And she's since gone on to do, you know, to really develop a nice little career she has going now. But it's funny to me, you know, the things that you see over the years when people reach out to you. And then also your first experience with assisting. You know, I never went to anyone to say, hey, can I assist you? Someone reached out to me to ask me to assist them. And then I've also sat down with an agent who wanted me to, to assist. Before, you know, he would consider signing me to his roster. So tell us a little bit, Deshaun, about your experiences. One, what was your very first assisting experience with you assisting someone, and how did that come about? And then what was the experience like when someone assisted you for the first time?
Right. Well, my very first assisting job, I had already been working in the industry for, I started out in your world. I was a film girl for about a year and some odd months, and then I realized I was going broke, and I was about to be put out of my house, and I said, ooh, I can't make no money, and then somebody said, you should switch over to beauty, and then I switched over to beauty, and so I had already developed a decent, I wouldn't say it was, you know, when you look back at your work, you know it wasn't fabulous, but it was a decent portfolio, decent amount of work, and I started to reach out because everybody said the golden thing to me, which was what? You need to assist. So I said, okay, I'll reach out to people and see if I can assist. So my first assisting gig was assisting Sharon Galt, and that was just, I mean, every single time I think about it, I get chills. It is like 13 years later, and I feel like I could just still see everything and feel everything. It's very strange, very surreal feeling because it was with photographer David LaChapelle. And if you don't know who David LaChapelle is, then you guys need to go do – first of all, you need to buy the book and learn how to research people and figure out who he is because he's one of – especially back then, he's one of the most world-renowned photographers ever. And there I am, little old Deshaun, in her first assisting gig, assisting Sharon. At the time, Sharon was doing everybody and everything. And she was just so hot out there. She still is hot. Like, let's not look. She does Lady Gaga. She does everybody. But it was just like, you know, your first step into it, and then your first gig is with Sharon and David. It's like I could just blow my mind. Like, it could just blow, okay? So.
Right.
It was just that. It was working with Sharon, and it was a editorial, and it didn't pay. And I think I would have paid her for the experience, quite frankly. And it was the most exhilarating thing in my life, in my career. It was, I learned so much from those days on those sets because I assisted Sharon on several things, not just one thing. And mm-hmm. and just being around a genius like David LaChapelle, it just opens up your mind like you cannot believe. And so that was my first assistant gig, was to assist freaking Sharon Galt on a freaking David LaChapelle shoot. I could die. It was amazing. It was filled with, I mean, when I tell the story, people think I'm a little crazy because of the weirdness that had happened on set. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened that I'll never tell anybody, but there's like a few things that had happened that, you know, people were getting fired. They were yelling. There was arguments. There was a live DJ. It was just sensory overload. He was, you know, David LaChapelle, so people understand, like, when you look at his work, literally what you see is what you see live. It's not, it's not photoshopped in. So if you see somebody hanging from somewhere, they're probably hanging from somewhere. So it's very colorful and bright and everything. And the thing about being on his sets is he has a crew that physically builds all of these sets. So you're walking around going, wow, ooh, look at this. Oh, my God, I didn't know they did this. Now, of course, since then, I haven't seen too many people do that. But he has all these props everywhere. And it was a lesson. It's a lesson for me when I'm here shooting in my house. It's just a lesson, and I try to remember everything that I saw that day, and I always try to bring it into what I do, though I don't get the same results, but I try to bring it into what I do. But it was a lot. It was a learning lesson. I got to tell the cricket story. I just have to tell the guys because they will face this, and they may not understand it, may not like it, may get pissed off and take it personally. I call this the crickets. When I met David, or I should say Mr. LaChapelle, when I met David, Sharon said, come here, I want to introduce you. So I walk up to David, and I am like Miss Timid. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm like, just be quiet, you know. So I said, You know, thank you, sir, for having me on your set, you know. And he wouldn't look at me. He looked above my head. He would not look. He did not acknowledge my existence. It was like crickets. Wow. You hear the cricket sound? It was like crickets. That's how it was. He wouldn't look at me. And a normal person would have taken that personally, like, oh, my God, he hates me, or, oh, my God, you know, it would have, I know to a lot of people, assistants, that would crush you. And I want people to understand that that is just something that happens. It is something that people on, not on that level, because there's so many people who do that within, you know, come on, people within the industry who could be a little standoffish.
Right.
But I want people to understand, because that's the first introduction that you're going to get to a celebrity or to somebody who is world-renowned, and you might think it's you. They don't like you. And it's not. It's just that I feel like they need time to warm up to you. You have just walked into their house. They don't know you. I mean, would it be nice if he would have said, hi, Deshaun, you know, thanks for coming? Sure, of course it would have been. But he didn't say it. I didn't cry. I didn't cringe. I didn't die. I just went and did my work. And so I want people to realize that when you're dealing in that particular realm, things like that can happen, and you have to stay strong and don't let little things like that upset you. Because at the end of the shoot, the man gave me a kiss on the cheek and thanked me, and I thought I was going to die. So you just have to, like, don't let little stupid things like that throw you off your course when you're assisting. Just let it roll off your back and keep it moving. That's one thing. I love the cricket story. I just love it. If I could do a video on crickets, I would do a video on crickets. Because it's literally somebody standing there, and you're just, oh, my God, it's so nice to meet you, and they will not acknowledge your presence. That is what can happen to you. And I just want people to know that it's not you, it's them. Just keep working. That's the most important thing you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about... some of the things that you've noticed over the years, because, you know, people have asked questions all the time, like we were just talking earlier, how we both have received emails. Let me just share what I've seen. Like I said earlier, I had someone who emailed me. She asked me for all of my contacts, and I'm sitting here saying to myself, oh, my God, I've worked for years and, you know, established relationships and worked hard for years, and then you're just going to send an email and ask for it all? You know, and I don't want to go into a lot of details because, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes she listens to the show, so I really don't want to make her feel bad. But, you know, I'm just saying all this to say, you know, that's definitely not the right thing, the right way to be. Then I've had people to send me emails and say, hi, my name is, this is my website, would you take a look at my work? Somebody wants you to take a look at their work, and if you're interested in using them as an assistant, or some of them just say, hi, this is my, you know, this is my work, here's my website, this is my, who I am, and that's all they want to do is just introduce themselves. And I find nothing wrong with those two examples.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you come and say, hi, here's my work, would you be able to refer me to artists, you know, yourself or other artists who are looking for assistance? I don't have a problem with that either. What's some of the, like, the best examples of how people have approached you? Because, you know, we always talk about the worst examples. Have you gotten any emails where there were, where people did approach you in a nice way that you, you know,
yeah,
want to talk
and
about?
those people normally wind up to be my assistants. Yeah, I had, I hope she doesn't mind, but I'm going to say her name. Her name is Lakeisha. I have an assistant now on and off. Her name is Lakeisha, and she's absolutely freaking amazing. But the thing about Lakeisha was she had sent me, this was like well over a year ago, she had sent me an email. And it was proper. It was perfect. It was like, hi, and, you know, it was short. The other thing I need to say, it was short and to the point. Anybody who sends me something short and to the point and not a hey girl, I'm going to pay more attention to you because I know you know we all get novels. We can get novels of, I really want to be a makeup artist, and this is why I want to be it, and it goes on and on and on. It's like 4 pages sometimes. Nobody has time to read that. So she kept it short and to the point, and I liked some of her work, and I thought, oh, she's got a good eye. I could see it. And then I completely forgot. I just was like, oh, well. You know, we're working, and I just, and as I always say in every email when I'm interested in somebody, hey, do me a favor and just keep in touch with me because I will generally forget. I get a lot of email requests, and it's like, you know, and she did. And that was the thing that I liked. She persevered. She kept going. Sometimes what happens is people will email me once, and then that's it. And it's like you have to keep going. You have to keep reminding us, not so much every day or every week, but if you keep coming back and saying, hey, I'm still here, I still would love to assist you, it just keeps you in the forefront of my mind. So when she emailed me again about 8 or 9 months later, and I remember her picture called the angel picture, when I saw her angel picture, I said, oh, that's a girl. Didn't she email me? And then I go back and I check and I go, oh, my God, she emailed me like 9 months ago. And then I look at her again. I might forget one more time. And then she'll hit me back up again. And I said, boom, I needed, whenever I key Fashion Week shows, I love to have assistants. They're not on my team. They're assistants. And I like to give people opportunities to see what it's like to be backstage. And I chose her and a couple of other people. And she just was lovely. They all were lovely, quite frankly, to be honest. They all were lovely. But I can only have one assistant, you know what I mean? And
right.
I chose her, and I was right. She's the perfect assistant. She's amazing at what she does. I mean, she's going to be – I'm pretty good at knowing when people are going to eventually blow, and she will be the type of person that will eventually blow up in this industry only because she has that perseverance. She just perseveres. She doesn't stop. and she's very professional, and she listens, and she knows how to work a set. She's not up on me. She's not breathing on me. She sits back and she watches, and that's how a really good assistant is. It's sort of like they're so silent. You're like, are they still here? Because they're so silent. You know what I mean? And that is how she's very stealthy and very silent, and she's right there if I need something. If I say look, she's right there before I say Keisha. I mean, she's like bang. That is the type of assistant. That's the type of person I look for. And normally, it would be from someone who perseveres and keeps contacting me. That's normally the type of person that I get. But I also get the hey girls, and I totally ignore them completely.
Yeah, that's really a turn off. But, you know,
for
those people who approach you, yeah, it is. And those people who approach you in the right way, you know, once they introduce themselves and you see their work and whatever it is that you like about them, then you don't have a problem saying, well, you know what, keep in touch. Because I've told a lot of people, keep in touch. And that's one of the things that a lot of times I say keep in touch, one, because I mean it, but then also I want to see what, you know, if they're serious.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I mentioned that because I remember Reggie Wells. I'm from Baltimore, and Reggie Wells came to Baltimore. Reggie is also from Baltimore. And he came to Baltimore after he wrote his book. He came to do a book signing. And so a coworker at my job told me, you know, she knew that I had gone to school for makeup and all that. And so she told me, she was like, you know, Reggie Wells was just here in town for book fair, and then he's going to be back, you know, to do a book signing. You should go. So I was like, oh, okay, you know. And I had his book. So I went, and afterwards, you could get your book signed or whatever. So I went to go get my book signed. So we chatted for a few seconds, and he gave me his card, and he told me to keep in touch. So, you know, it was months that went past, and I was like, you know, okay, I guess maybe I'll call him. You know, I'm like, I really wasn't even, to be honest with you, I really wasn't, like, pressed about calling. I don't know where I was at that time. You know, it just really wasn't something I was like, oh, okay, since he gave me his card, I'm going to call him next week. It took months before I called. And so I did call, and, you know, we would talk for, you know, a while, and I would just take notes on everything he said or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we talked, he would ask me, you know, how's your speed? Are you getting faster? And so, you know, of course, by the time I would call him again, because it would be, you know, at least 3 or 4 months before I would call him back, and I would, you know, I would get faster or whatever. So long story short, he called me maybe the following year, and he asked me if I would come to Chicago to assist him with this big modeling search. He spoke at this big talent modeling search event, and then after he would speak, then he would go and he would set up and he would do makeovers. But he wanted me to assist him with doing the makeovers. So whoever this organization was, they flew me out to Chicago, and the hotel that I was in is the hotel where the whole event was going on. So I would assist him. This was my first, you know, my first time seeing him since he came to the book signing. And I assisted him, and he loved my work. He loved how I, you know, communicated and got along with the models. And he really loved how neat and organized and clean my kit was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So,
you just struck a chord.
You know,
go ahead, girl.
Yeah, and I say these things because, you know, sometimes people don't realize what people are looking at, what they're watching. And so, anyway, the following year, when it was time for this event to come up again, he wasn't going to be there. So he had me take his place.
Nice.
And so I flew out, and I brought my sister with me to assist. Just with me.
Nice.
And then the following year, I'm sitting at my job. I was a tax accountant for a long time, and I was doing makeup, you know, at the same time. And I'm at my desk, and I'm getting ready to sit. But this time, I'm really into getting into the, you know, film and television world. And so I was going to take a class with, and I know you all have heard her on our show a lot of time, with Suzanne Patterson. I was going to take a class with her. She was teaching a class on ball caps. And Reggie called me. I'm sitting at my desk. He calls me. He's like, hey, what are you doing? This Saturday. And I said, oh, I'm taking a class. He asked me if I would assist him with Jessica's time. So I would go on and assist him several times, different events, Grammys, Stellar Awards, performances in New York, things like that, with Destiny's Child. And this is right when they got their final group together, the final three, with the Survivor feature. So I went on to assist him with Destiny's Child. But I said all that to say, you know, I never called anybody say, hey, Reggie, I want to assist you. He, for some reason, was a liking to me, maybe, and there's some things that he liked, and said, hey, I want you to assist me. And it's funny because the first time I assisted him in New York, when he called me again, he said, when you come to New York tomorrow, this is what I want you to do. He was like, just come, don't worry, I'll pay you. And he paid me for the day. He paid me every time that I assisted him. But I was willing to assist free. I didn't care.
Right.
But, he paid me. And he said, so I said, well, what do you want me to bring? And he said, bring everything. And this time I'm saying to myself, oh, God, you mean to tell me I got to bring this big old kit, you know, lug this kit on the train and all this. But he really wanted me to bring it because he was like, I want you to bring your kit because I want this Tina to bring the kit. So he really wanted... He was just kind of showing off, I guess. He wanted them to see this nice, clean kit, you know, which he was like total opposite, you know.
Really?
Yeah, but I could tell you some. I could tell you guys. But anyway, I love him. But I said all that to say is that I never thought that having a nice, neat, clean kit would impress someone so much. You know what I mean?
It's very impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, I just did not know. And you mentioned earlier, you said, I wanted to mention this also, but you said earlier you started off in my world, which is film and television.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I want to quickly say about assisting in film and television, if you're working on a independent film or television show, then assisting is a lot easier. And what I mean by that is when you're working on, I do a lot of my work now on feature film and television. So it's a lot different. So I have a lot of people who call or email me and say, hey, I would love to assist you. But assisting is not easy on a feature film.
And that's one of the reasons why
you know
the book doesn't have film in it. It doesn't have anything to do with film because when I worked, I never had an assistant, never really needed an assistant. And then your world is even more intense than mine because I did independent. Yours is more union, and you have to know they got to get clearance and there's insurance involved and everything else is involved just to get somebody to walk onto the set. So,
but how about this? This is one thing I found out just recently on my last show.
Uh-huh.
It's against the studio's policy to even have an intern.
See?
And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have somebody intern. They're not even going to get paid until the studio says no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little tricky. And I mentioned that only because I know that you don't deal with that in your book. So if there's anybody that's listening who's interested in feature film and television, it's a little different.
It's way different. It's like, well, I just did, let me say it this way because I like to joke. I was a star of a television commercial. But no, I was actually hired to do makeup and then be the actor who played the makeup artist on set for The Voice. So I just did a Voice commercial this past season. And it was just so funny how regimented everything was. I couldn't bring an assistant on there they wouldn't let me. I was like, well, can I bring someone? No, there was no assistant. They would not allow it. Nothing. it was very interesting. I mean, to be in that, like, environment of being in the SAG world and all that, it was very interesting to see that because your people don't play.
Absolutely. They really don't. There's a lot of rules and a lot of organizations that have to clear everything for certain things can happen. So, for instance, you know, if you want to assist in any way, you actually really need to be in the union
and
get hired as an additional.
Right. That's the only way I could see it, too. So your chapter in my book would have been one paragraph. And then it would have been ask Denise and Denise Janelle because I couldn't tell you anymore.
No. Here you go. That's going to be my book, okay?
Yes, girl, right, yes. We need the flip side. We do need the flip side. I just was like, I'm not even dipping my daggone toe into that water because that's just not my world. I wrote about what exactly I know. I wrote about the things that I have been through. I share my many hiccups and my many lessons of what I learned. Mm-hmm. But, girl, that world is not my world. I wasn't even going to try to pretend like I knew what I was talking about.
It is definitely a different beast.
It's definitely different. It's definitely different. But getting back to kits, yes, having a kit that is clean. Now, you know, I'm not going to out nobody, but I'm just going to tell a quick story. Every year for the last 10 years, I do this high school event. I get gathered together. Actually, I don't gather anything. These lovely, talented, fabulous makeup artists volunteer their time to come with me to a high school and do makeup for the senior class. It's called Senior Picture Day. And we've been doing it for 10 years because in my philosophy is nobody should have a bad high school senior picture. You know what I mean? You should never look back at your high school and go, oh, my God, I look so bad. So that's where it kind of started with my girlfriends talking about they didn't want to look at their pictures and how bad. And I sat there and looked at mine. And I was like, oh, I look cute because I never did look cute. I always looked busted in high school. I never did makeup. I barely did my hair. But when it came to my high school yearbook picture, I did my hair, I did my makeup, and people were like, that's you? I said, yes, honey, that is me, the power of hair and makeup, honey. So every year I do this. We go to a school, and we do the hair and makeup. Well, one year this young lady, who is a phenomenal makeup artist in her own right, right now especially, she's amazing, but she opened up her kit. Now, remember, these are volunteers. They're not really assisting me. They're there to, you know, do the makeup on the young ladies and men, actually. But when she opened up her kit, there was no way in this free world that she could have started working. I said to her as gently as I could, honey, go clean your kit. Go clean it. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. I mean, when I say it was a mess, it was a mess. Now, had she been my assistant and she showed up with that, I may have said, please put your kit away. You're not going to be working on anything, anyone, and you're not touching anything. Because your kit is a reflection of who you are as an artist. If your kit is disgusting, honest to God, if your kit is disgusting, it's going to make people, a key, look at you in a very odd light. That's the last thing you need. You finally got your behind on set, and the last thing you want to do is open up a kit. It's filthy. You must have a clean. You must be immaculate. When I say immaculate, you must be immaculate. It doesn't mean that you wear 10 pounds of makeup on your face and you put 20 pounds of weave in your hair. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about immaculate in terms of your dress. Your clothes are clean. There's a thing in the book that says your funkiness is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to be funky. It's unacceptable for your nails to be dirty. It's unacceptable.
Yes.
All of these things go across the board that it's going to give people the impression of who you are. Just in general, who are you? If you walk on set and you're nasty and funky, it gives an impression. So you have to have a clean kit. And that kit has got to be immaculate. It has to be. Now, we all working artists, we know how we can throw stuff into our kits. We know how you're like, the shoot is over, I just want to go home. Then you just chuck things in your kit and you go home. But I bet you the next day for me, I may have chucked stuff into the kit, but the next day it's clean. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to go to set with a dirty kit. I might have dirty brushes that need to be cleaned, so I give it to my assistant. But you won't know they're dirty. You know what I mean? They're in a Ziploc bag.
Right.
Everything is compartmentalized. Everything is clean. I take pride in cleaning my kit. it's very zen-like moments for me when I sit down and clean it. It should be so clean that when we look at it, there's nothing for us to look at. There's nothing that's going to distract us from your amazingness. There's nothing that's going to say, oh, this artist is a little suspect. What's up with that? You know? And it goes across the board. It goes across to even your lipsticks. Like, if your lipsticks are all chewed up, fix that. Maybe put it in a palette. How clean is your palette top? You know, is the makeup touching the palette top? Clean that. What about having half beaten up eyeshadows in your kit? You may think, these eyeshadows are half done because I love these colors so much. But quite frankly, what it looks like to me is you don't maintain your kit well. Because I used to do it, too. I used to have, like, oh, girl, this is my favorite color. Can you tell? Look, it's barely there. And then it dawned on me, no, Deshaun, you can't do that. You have to replace, you know, you might want to hang on. I'm very cheap, by the way. You might want to hang on to things until the end of time. But what it reflects to other people is that you need to replace that. See, it's you have to think of the impression that you're giving out to others. What you look like to other people, not what you think you look so fab. I've had people walk onto set, and here's a rule, number one rule, no sequins on set, and I mean that. This girl walked on set. She was assisting me. She walked on set with a sequins top that says something like hot, and then she has sequins UGG boots, okay? And I was like, if I wasn't in a weird space where I needed her, I would have sent her home immediately. I would not even go change your clothes. I would have said, you can't work for me. I would have sent her home. And by the way, I do send people home.
Right.
And I try to be nice about it. But I have sent people home or fired them or whatever you want to say. I like to say sent them home because it sounds nicer. But for certain infractions, you will be sent home. So if I had a replacement to replace her, I would have replaced her with somebody else. She would have gone home. So that's the other thing that you have to realize is that when you present yourself, you have to do it in the most professional manner. And I know a lot of times when I assisted Sharon the first time, I came, remember, I'm from corporate America. I came thinking, well, I'm assisting and this is professional. So I put my my best slacks on. You know, I use it as like casual Friday wear. You know, come on, you're from business. So I put my casual Friday wear on, and I had my little heels on, and I had a business shirt. I didn't know what the hell to dress like. You know, when you go from film and then into beauty, it's two different worlds because nobody expects anybody to dress up in film. You know what I mean? But when you cross up to beauty and you start to see makeup artists who have their little shirts on and they look all so neat and they have a little cardigan draped over their shoulder, you're thinking, oh, you got to dress up. Oh, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to dress up for the first gig. And I just remember Sharon looking at me like, okay, all right, this is interesting. Okay. And all of a sudden the shoes came off. I was on the floor digging through her kit. I had to redo her whole kit, and her kit was enormous. I had to redo her whole kit. I was on the floor. I was running around set. I was getting dirty. It was not the vision of what I see on television. It had nothing to do with the glamour crap that we see on television.
I was
doing grunt work, and I was on the floor. But at least I was clean. I will say that. But you have to know appropriate dress. And there's the appropriate dress code that's inside that book that tells you, you don't know, this is, boom, you can never fail. You can never fail with this look. You
know? Right.
You can't fail with this look, I promise you. And it's like things like that that people don't know. If I had known, I would have been so comfortable that day. I would have had my sneakers on, but I would have been cute. I would have my sneakers on, my little shirt, my little, you know, I put my jeans or something. I would have been comfortable. But that whole day, I was so uncomfortable because I'm running around in business attire on a David LaChapelle shoot assisting Sharon. Now, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't wear sequins.
Right.
I knew not to wear sequins, and I knew to wear black because that's just, I use that from the film world. But how ridiculous. Really? Shoes?
Well,
pointy shoes? Really? I mean, come on. But everything that we do in this business, it's an appearance. It's something that says, we're looking at you. We're looking at you hard. You may not think we're looking, but we are looking at you guys hard, really hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't say anything.
Absolutely.
A lot of times, right, we don't say anything. We just go, mm-hmm, check that out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Look at her kid. Mm-hmm. Look at how long her nails are. Mm-hmm. Ooh, she got too much makeup on. Mm-hmm. Look at how he dresses. Mm-hmm. We check everything. We check how you speak to people, how you don't speak to people. We check it all, and you don't even realize that we're doing that. But we're looking at you. You may think we're business, but we're not. We are looking at you. We're looking at you to see where you're standing, where you're sitting, how are you sitting. We're looking at it all. I've had assistants just like damn near fall asleep on set because it's a little slow, a little boring. I see you. I might not say get up, wake up, but I see you, and guess what? You won't come back the next day. You won't you won't come back and be on a shoot with me that might have a celebrity up in there. You might not get that job because just now I just caught you sleeping. I may never reprimand you. And that's the other thing that assistants don't seem to get is, like, just because your key didn't say something to you does not mean
that's
you didn't
right.
do anything wrong.
Right.
It just means that we didn't say nothing.
Right.
Right?
And you know what? Let me tell you something. Even in a corporate situation, because I come from corporate America as well, even in a corporate situation, they're not going to always tell you when you do something wrong. But
they are,
but when
silent,
they
right?
when they pull you up, they'll list everything.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? But they won't tell you all the time. So you think people don't notice things, but they do.
Well, we do.
And
we really do.
Yeah. And one of the things that you just mentioned, celebrities, and it reminded me as you were speaking, I actually had a celebrity talent on the show that I just wrapped up say to me about one of the young ladies that we had as an additional. She talked about body odor.
Uh-huh.
Now,
funk is not acceptable. Funk is not
acceptable. No. And she's not, she didn't, of course, she didn't say anything to the young lady. She said
right.
something to me, and she was like, oh, she's really nice. She said, but oh, my goodness. And then another celebrity talent sitting in the next chair heard it, and she started talking about a time when she said, I hate it when makeup artists, when they go to the bathroom. You know where I'm going with this, where they go to the bathroom, and she's not saying that they didn't wash their hands. She's just saying maybe they didn't wash their hands well.
Right.
Because when they come to go and continue to do makeup, they smell their hands.
That's not good. I come from the bathroom, I wash my hands, and then I come and do sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because your hands is
yeah.
right up their nose.
Up on their, that's it. That's it. And so it's very simple. You brush your teeth. And sometimes when people have bad breath, it doesn't mean that they didn't brush their teeth. It might mean that they have gum disease.
Right.
So it's just, you know, proper hygiene, making sure everything is on point.
Everything
because
has to be on point.
It has to be. And it doesn't have to be celebrity talent. Anybody would appreciate you being clean.
No, it's anybody.
You know, and that's how you should approach, you know, all of your clients. You should want to be clean standing in front of someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I want to say that sometimes I will admit that keys don't always look the best. Sometimes keys walk on set
right.
and they look a little schlubby. You know what? Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed to. They're your boss. Just because
right.
they're schlubby or they're walking around their flip-flops or whatever they're doing does not mean that's what you do. There is a thing that assistants have to do, which is dress appropriately. I don't care what the key's doing. If the key might have a very long-standing relationship with the photographer and everybody on set.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You don't know anything. You don't have that kind of relationship. You cannot just show up and be diva almighty or run around and be funky or whatever. You have this. There's a line for assistants that you can't, you don't cross it, because if you do, it just is glaring. It's like what you guys do when you want to assist, like I said, like, you know, we see it all, and it's glaring. If you're funky, we're going to smell your funk because you're so close to us. We are in close quarters with each other, if you, you know, if you think you're funky, then, sweetie, go get some deodorant, carry it with you throughout the day.
Anything.
And put some deodorant, anything to keep the funk down would be greatly appreciated.
You know, it just reminds me, you would hear people always say, do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, yes.
So it's just
Mama.
One of those situations. Yeah, it's just one of those situations. You have to do as you're told. And when you're new to the situation, like assistant, you're coming in for the first time, you didn't have Deshaun's book, and you came in, you didn't really know what to do. I understand that sometimes you don't always know.
Right.
But some things ought to be common sense.
Right.
I think.
I agree. And the no sequence on set rule should be common sense. I'm just saying.
Right. Right. Well, Deshaun, I know you've kind of been talking, you know, about it as you've been commenting on things and talking about some of the things that's found in your book. But let's kind of talk about your book in detail. Tell us, like, I have to pick up a copy of this book. And first of all, tell us where we can purchase the book.
Well, you can pick up the book at assistingrules.com, just like the name of the book. And you can purchase it there through PayPal. And, again, I'm going to be doing book signings and all that stuff. I don't know if people from another country listens, but I've had so many people from, like, France and London and Austria and all these places. Oh, and then I'm like, oh, no international shipping at this point. But I will be selling it internationally soon. So everybody sit tight. It will be sold internationally. But right now it's for the USA because the shipping is crazy. So, yes.
I'm glad you said that because we do have international listeners.
Yeah.
So
and I
keep us posted.
I love my peeps, you know, I love my international folk, and I wish it wasn't so expensive to ship the book, but my brain cannot get around how much it costs to ship this crazy book, and I can't, and like, my heart is like, I just can't charge somebody that kind of money to ship a book. Like, in my brain, it's like, I can't do that to you. I refuse. You may want it. I'm not doing it until we can get the shipping reasonably for you, because it just... It's just too
much. Maybe you could possibly think about some type of online copy that they can download.
Down the line, I might do it, but right now, it's all about buy the book.
Right, right. I hear you.
Buy the book. Buy this book.
I hear you.
I feel the online presence, but I'm all about buying the book because the book is like a 9x6 book. Like I said, 220 pages, and very much like I want you guys to, take this with you. I want you to read it. I want you to check it. I want this book, when you get it, to be read all the way through. I want you to mark it up. I want you to write in it. I mean, there's forms and everything in there for you guys to write down. Like, there's a big research section. There's forms for that. There's self-assessment things. There's forms for that. So there's forms in there. And I just want you to be able to, write it up. You know what I mean? Like, what does she mean by this? Or, oh, that was cool. Or let me remember this. I want you to write it up and dog ear it and then carry it with you as if it was your Bible of assisting. That's what I want. So that's how I treated Crystal's book when I had her book 15 years ago, 10 years ago. It went with me everywhere. I never left home without it. It was like, it was ingrained in me. Like, you know, I wish I had gotten it before I had assisted. You know, I got her book like 2 years in of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know about it. And it was just sort of like, wow, you know what? Geez, had I known, I would have known this. Do you know what I mean? Geez, I would have known that. You know, being a key, I would have known all these things. Boy, I didn't know I should have done this, I should have done that. It's the same feeling that I want you guys to get with my book. It's like, I want this to be with you. I want you to carry. And you can't do all of this stuff online. You can't do it on a stupid screen. I have Kindles. Ain't much you could do. I want you to do, like, carry
right.
it with you on set, put a book cover, put a book jacket on it, and read it, and go, ooh, I'm not supposed to do that. Let me put it down. Ooh, let me
right.
run to the bathroom and read this. Ooh, oh, Deshaun said, don't do that. Oh, let me not do that. Really, that's how I want this book to be. I want you guys to carry it around. I want it to be, like, worn out. So when you're done assisting, when you go back to that book, I have all my books, right?
Uh-huh.
All the, even the business books, you know, that you start you know, when you start reading business and you think you know everything and you realize you know nothing. All of those books from 15 years ago, all dog-eared and bent up and written in and a mess, and I love it because I was studying and I was trying to become as good as I could be in this business, and I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot to go. But that's what I want this book to be. I really want, when I come to see people in D.C., I want the book to be tore up, okay? I want to see you. I don't want to see somebody with a new, fresh book. I want that book to be tore up. Because you have been in it, and you have flipped through it, and you have written in it, and you've done all. That's what I want this book to be. I know I'm crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what it should be.
It really
especially
should be.
If you're very serious about the system.
Yes. Because when you do take this seriously, I'm telling you, I promise you all, things will happen for you. When you don't take it seriously, you will be ignored and you will be passed over. I just had a young lady the other night. I'm on Facebook for me, so everybody within my voice, within my listening voice, is the moment that I get to relax and tee-hee-hee and laugh and chill out. That's what Facebook is to me. It's not... Hey, Deshaun, love your work. Look at my site. It's not about that. So when I get a little ping from people, hey, can you check out my thing? I go, hell no, and then I delete you. Because it's it's not that kind of place for me personally. I love Facebook to laugh and read other people's things or help other people, you know, especially on message boards. I love to help on message boards. But, like, when I'm on Facebook, it's not the time nor place to be unprofessional towards me and reach out to me in such a hey girl manner. I just had a young lady do that to me the other night, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, hey, love your work, can you check out my Facebook page? That's unprofessional. If you want to hit anybody, you should hit them with a professional email. You shouldn't be, hey, not unless you have a rapport with somebody beforehand, like you know me and you see that I'm up and you know my habits and I know who you are, and you say, hey, Deshaun, can I ask you a quick question? That kind of thing, that's cool. I know you. But when I don't know you, it is not cool to reach out to me and say, hey, check out my Facebook page. Check out my thing. Just can you give me a quick critique? That's not cool. And you shouldn't be reaching out to artists in that manner. It's a job, and I keep saying, it's a job that you're asking for, or it's a critique that will change the trajectory of your career that you're asking for, but you're doing it in such a bad way, you're never going to get what you want. And that is why being professional and obviously reading assisting rules, okay, I will say it, will keep you on track. It will keep you going. It will keep you – I always say, like the president says, stay the course. You stay the course, and the more professional you are, the more you reach out, the more research you do on an artist, all of that is going to pay off for you. But if you're flippant with it, because you know how it feels like when somebody reaches out to you. Hey, girl, it doesn't feel like you're serious. It feels like I don't want to waste my time on you because I feel like you should know better than to reach out to somebody you don't even know with a hey, girl. That's not professional.
I'm going to tell you, that kind of thing turns me off.
See?
So much, I will be honest.
It
years
does.
Ago, I didn't even want to bother with makeup artists because that kind of thing, you know, just turned me off so much. And then I had to get myself together and say, well, you know what? Don't be this way, you know. Don't let it turn you away from people altogether. But I'm telling you, it took me a minute.
But, you know, it doesn't turn me off of people. It turns me off of that person. Do you know what I mean? It turned me off of that person. Like, she was deleted from my account. Just deleted. It turned me off from her. It doesn't turn me off from ever helping anybody. I'm on message boards all the time answering questions all over the place. I have no problem with that. I have a problem when you seek me out and you go, hey, girl, check out my Facebook page, or hey, girl, check out my website. That's not the way to approach a professional person. And I think the more, like, I never reached out. Like, when I started, I say this in the book, when I started, there was no Google. There was no, the internet was that annoying sound that you would turn on, and it would make that annoying thing, and it's slow as hell, and there was not adequate search engines. There was nothing. I never wasted a moment with a unprofessional email to anybody. It was always professional. It was a little cocky and a little obnoxious, maybe, but it was professional. And that's how I approached it. I approached it in a business-like manner, and I want everybody to get that. This is a business. It is a business. And if you start to do it in an unprofessional manner, you are not going to get what you want. You're not going to get it. You're not showing respect for the people that you're reaching out to. You're not showing the respect. You're not showing the love. You got to show the love. And by showing the love, I don't mean, oh, I love your work, which is a very blanket comment to me. I find that very blanket. Oh, I love your work. Can you look at this? Everybody throws out that little line, oh, Deshaun, I love your work. And I'm like, what work do you love? Let's get specific. What do you love? I did that to a couple of people on Facebook. So what is it about my work that you love? Can you tell me? And they go, I can feel them go, You know, it's like you have to know the artist you're reaching out to. You have to keep it professional. That will get you over. I'm telling you guys, that's going to get you over more than this fake I love your work thing. Professional is way more. I have a sample letter in the book that is so, it's personable, but it's so easy. It's like one nice paragraph, and it goes into how well she knows who I am. She picks references. She did her research on me. She knows what I do. You know, it goes on, and it's small, and it's a short sample letter of what you guys are supposed to do, because I feel like in the world of Facebook and Instagram, things are the accessibility to us is so much easier now that I feel like everybody drops that professional guard. And when you're seeking a critique or you're seeking work, the best thing to do is to be as professional as possible. I say that all through the book. You have to be professional. And unfortunately, a lot of people do tend to drop the ball. And then when you drop the ball, we drop you. And we won't answer you. We won't write back to you. You'll just try to hit me back up and go, gee, why am I not getting Deshaun's, why am I not getting her feed anymore? Because she's deleted you. That's why.
Right.
You know?
Right. What are some of the topics that readers can look forward to in the book?
Well, the book goes in two parts. The book is, the first half of the book is all before you get the job. So if you're a newbie and you have nothing, it's in there. It goes from researching, which is key to everything. If you don't research your artist, if you don't take the time to know what they do, you will waste any type of communication you just set up. You have to know your artist. So it goes into depth about understanding websites, our websites, key websites, understanding agency websites. What is it telling you? A lot of people just look at the pretty pictures and go, oh, it's pretty. But you don't understand what you're looking at. There's tons of information on a website that you have to pay attention to. So that's huge. That's like a good 30 pages. And then you jump into, marketing and presentation. What does your card tell me? What are you trying to convey to me when you send me, let's say I'm a red carpet makeup artist, and you send me a card with bright fuchsia lips with rhinestones. What do you think that's telling me? Does it tell me that you get me? Does it tell me as a key that you can do what I do? No, it's not. It's telling me that you happen to love this picture with your bright fuchsia lips and the rhinestones. You have to start to connect yourself to the keys that you want to work with. So you might love your fuchsia lip, but that might not be appropriate for this particular key. I try to keep people on path. And so everything is directed towards you getting that assistant gig, and it's directed towards you making a connection with that key. That's what it's all about. You have to make that connection. And once you do, and they start to remember you, you'll start getting those gigs. And it's so odd because you get one gig, then you get the next gig, then you get the next gig, and then you can assist and get all the information that you need. So it goes into marketing and presentation. It goes into social media. It goes into networking. It goes into branding. There's a section in there on brand. It's not a huge section, to be honest. It's a small section because branding, I just wanted to say real quickly, happens over time. Branding is not, and I said it on my thing, branding is not putting your face on your card. That's not branding. And so I try to explain it, that you must build your reputation first, and then you can start to brand yourself. And I try to explain branding, because branding can be, branding can be just difficult to understand. And honestly, it took me years. I didn't understand branding. It took me years to get it. And branding is something that I see that a lot of new makeup artists, and even some seasoned, and when I say seasoned artists, I mean somebody's been in the business for like 3 years and has a book, that kind of seasoned. But I see it all the time where these new makeup artists come out and they put their face on their card. And I'm like, what? Why would you put your face on the card? So I go into all of that and I explain why you shouldn't do certain things and how that is a reflection on you and how it looks to us. So there's marketing and presentation. There's something in there called the core conversation that you should have with, like, you know, the key finally calls you. You did everything I just told you to do. Now the key has called you. Now what kind of conversation are you going to get? Because a lot of times what will happen is you do your homework, you send out the letters, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get a phone call. And it's like there's no interview process. Sometimes they just look at your work, check you out, and they say, okay, I'll take you. You come with me. And you're like, okay. But then you don't know the proper questions to ask. You don't know when to stop talking. You don't know a lot of things. And so there's something called a core conversation. It's actually based on my first initial conversation that I got with Sharon. And I explain all that in the book. There's also something called key personalities in the book. That's all about several different types of personalities you could run into as an assistant and how to deal with them. You have the jerk. You have the laid-back person. You have the self-sufficient person. You have all these different types of personalities, and how are you going to deal with them before you even get to set? So that's in there as well. And that's the first half of the book we haven't even gotten to. And then the second half is you got that gig, woohoo! You are it. You are ready to go. Now read this. And then we go into, I go into the whole what to do on set, what to expect before you get there, what to expect when you're there, and what to do after you're there. It also gives you what I call the code of ethics. There are ethics that assistants are supposed to have. If you're a shady blank assistant, if you're a shady person, if I just connect with this person and give them my card while I'm working, then I know I could do it. And there's an example in the book where I explain why. I tried to explain, I asked all of my assistants and other people's assistants, what's your pet peeve? What's your biggest pet peeve on set? And the two biggest pet peeves that people had was, why don't I get the credit if I do all the work? That's one. And two, why can't I run around and pass out my card? Those two are the biggest things. It's a repeat thing. I don't understand why I can't give that person my card. I don't understand why I can't talk to people. And it is clearly in Deshawn E's written out for you, so you can't say you don't know. It is written out for you to understand, and that's in the book. So that's the code of ethics part that's in the book. And then, like I said, soup to nuts, it goes from the very first half of knowing your key, researching, marketing presentation, key personalities, set etiquette, after the set, and so on, all of that. Oh, and then there's a place in there for communication. Like, if you're going to call me, do not call me and say, hey, girl, or, you know, have a proper way of speaking when you are on the phone. I say it in the book all the time. Again, we don't know you. And two, when you reach out to us, it is your first introduction to us. It's the first introduction.
Right.
I don't know you. So if I pick up the phone, if you happen to get me on a day off, which is when I'm normally picking up the phone, right? We're not going to pick up the phone most of the time when we're working. So if it's day off, you got me. Okay, I'll talk to you for a minute. What is it that you want? Oh, I would love to assist you. How do I get in your assistance list? Oh, okay. Well, then I'll talk to you for a few minutes. But if you continue to talk to me, if you keep it going, and you, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that was nice. Okay, and you keep going, that tells me you might do that when I'm working. And I can't have that. You have to know when to shut up and get off the phone. You have to know how to get your information and bolt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to learn how to hit it and quit it. And a lot of, unfortunately, I think there's two examples. Two of my favorite examples in the book would be like one caller who was just, she was so excited she spoke to me, and it's written in the book. It's written how she said it, by the way. But it just makes me laugh when I think of it. But she just wouldn't let me go, right? And I'm like, I got to get set. Mm-hmm. And she just, oh, wait. You know, she just wouldn't let me go. And it's like, I explain in the book how when the cues that we give you guys, like, got to get to set now, means stop talking and mm-hmm. say thank you for your time and get the hell off the phone. A lot of new assistants, they don't understand that, and they keep talking, and they keep talking, and they keep talking. And it just tells me as a key that if I say stop talking right now, you might keep talking. Do you see? All
how about
of these
this?
Mean something.
Not to cut you off, but I just thought about this. My sister just shared this with me actually today. She was speaking about someone that was assisting her. And like I said, also on the television, it's different. But somebody that's assisting her on some on a film show project. And she was saying that, and this is what happens when you have people who assist, but they're used to being keys. Instance,
yeah, I wrote that. That's in the book, too.
You wrote something about that? Okay, great. Because for, let's say, for instance, if your television experience comes just from doing, like, a lot of commercials, right? So on commercials, 9 times out of 10, sometimes it's like one makeup artist.
Right.
You know, so for the most part, you're used to being the key.
Right.
So, and, you know, you're making the decisions, you're doing everything. So
right.
when you go to assist someone, just because, like, people have to learn how to stay in their lane.
Right.
And I understand she was, the way she was telling me this, this young lady, I know she didn't mean any harm. But she's, like, always, like, when my sister is talking to a producer or a director or even the UPM about something, she pops up with her phone, showing them examples. Well, you know, I thought maybe we could try this to the producer.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
my sister's not on the trailer yet, and she, let's say the UPM is there waiting for her. This young lady pops up and shows her pictures. So my sister gets there, and she's like, well, you know, I thought about this, and she's showing him her pictures. And she said it made her so mad that she had to pull her aside, you know, and let her know, look, you don't do that. You have to stay in your lane. Because, like
right.
you said, I'm the one who's had prior conversations
right.
with the director and the UPM. And so I know what they're going for. I know what they want. They've already asked me for certain things, and I have what they're looking for with my example. You can't go, you know, and just come up just because I've shared with you that this is what we're going to be doing, then you just go on your own and come up with examples, and then when they come looking for me, you're going to pop up with your example.
Right.
That's enough.
Yeah,
that's
in the book. I have that. Also, just so you guys know, what I did is obviously I took off of my world out of my own experiences, but I reached out. This book technically started 4 years ago. Years ago, and then I was like, you know, I'll just do blogs, whatever. And then a friend of mine said, where's your book? And I was like, okay, I'll finish it. And that's when I started to work on it a year and a half ago. But this book is 4 years old. So in my 4 years, I reached out to all of my friends who are keys. I asked them their pet peeves as well, and that's one of them. it's sort of like, it's just very much like what you said. It's like you are now the key. Well, you were a key, and you don't know how, I always say you don't know how to turn off the key and turn on the assisting, turn the assisting hat on. Those two are two separate different things. Key is the person in charge. And also I think that a lot of times assistants don't realize all the work we do behind the scenes. I think they think we just walk on set and it's done. It's not. We could be working on something for weeks. For you guys, you could be working for months before you get to set because you have to do all the stuff. But there's a lot that goes into being a key. And I don't think a lot of artists understand that. Even if you're a key in your own right, you're not a key at a certain level that you would be responsible for a lot of extra things. When I was when I keyed my own things when I was a newbie, when I say newbie, I was in the business for like 3 or 4 years, or I should say seasoned artist. When I was in the business 3 or 4 years and I still assisted, I knew my place, and my place was to be by her side and to be quiet and be and to be there when she said, duh, I said, yes, that's what I'm talking, that's what an assistant is. And a lot of people I have met don't know how to stop it. They don't know how to stop giving their opinions, and they don't know how to butt out, you know, like when, when we're having meetings and somebody walks over, they're standing right there. No, you must excuse yourself and go away and allow the conversation to continue without you. And that's all in the book too. But yeah, that's written in the book, and it's written in a very, that part of the book is very Deshawn. It's very to the point, and there's no ifs, ands about it. Don't get it twisted kind of moment in the book, because a lot of seasoned artists seem to not really get that. They seem to think it's like a co-key kind of situation, and it's not.
Yeah.
If you're there to assist, then you're there to assist, and there's a place that you must be. If you are there because I asked you to come along with me, hey, I want your opinions and I want you to help me, that's a totally different thing, but that is not assisting. And a lot of times, like I said, a lot of seasoned artists seem to not be able to turn off that hat, and then you wonder why you don't get called back.
Right.
I had one girl who hounded me. She hounded me for years. Oh, Deshawn, I want to work with you. And I broke down, and she was already working. You know, she's already in the industry. She's working. And I said, okay, because she just asked me, and I had this huge shoot. And I said, sure, honey, let me call her up and ask her. She wants to assist. She knows what to do, right? She's a key. She should know what to do. Honey, that girl did not know what to do. Oh, my God. It was one of the worst shoots I've ever had in my life. One of the worst experiences with an assistant I ever had in my life, because she did everything for her. She did nothing for me. She didn't even ask to clean the table. She didn't do anything. And when I said to her, because you know when you do beauty shoots, you know the barista's up there and you can get your coffee and all that stuff. So the guy wasn't there at the time, and I really needed my Starbucks. And all the assistants who have ever assisted me understands that. They understand that I drink coffee for their safety. They understand that. Do you know what I mean? And so it was just sort of like I said to her, "Here's my Starbucks card. Go get yourself something and get me my latte." And then she just looked at me, girl, and she rolled her eyes. And I was like, she refused to go to the store. She refused to go to the store. And I was like, you know what? We're going to have to woo-sob. Yes, child. We are going to have to woo-sob this moment, because I'm about to tick-tick-boom right now. It's like 5 seconds off of tick-tick-booming. And then once I get to tick-tick-booming, it's a wrap. It's like over. I have never, and when I say this, I mean in all honesty, I have never spoken to that girl again. Never.
Wow.
She emailed me. Yes, I will not. I will not. And I'm the type of person, if you really jack up something and I don't want to work with you anymore as an assistant, I will write you a note. I will say, this is the reason why I can't have you back on my set. I appreciate you coming out and helping me, but I explain it. But you're a key, and you know better. And when you know better, you're supposed to, what Oprah said, you know better, you do better. And this girl refused half the things I asked her, and I was like, well, I don't even understand, like, you're an assistant. Like, right? Like, I'm a little confused as to what the hell is going on here today. She was the worst assistant I ever had. The worst. The worst. I have not.
Yeah, I just have an issue with that. I really do, because it's just like on the in the film world. It's like if you're a department head, you know, one day you're a department head. On another project, you may be the key. On another project, you may be the third. And on another project, you may be an additional, and you may not be working as a head. But that doesn't mean when you come in as an additional that you try to be the department. Just stay in your lane and know your place. Now, if she took a job working with you as your assistant, then she should be doing whatever you require your assistant to do.
Exactly.
You know?
I have done
feel like once.
I've done tremendous things on sets. I've babysat. Mm-hmm. I've walked the dogs. I've done a lot of things. And I was already working. I was already well into this industry. And I was doing all that kind of stuff. I had chairs. I had covers. And I wanted to, like, learn new processes and learn new things. So I said, okay, I'll try to assist again. I got an assisting job with an amazing makeup artist. But I had to do things. The point about assisting is you will do things that you don't want to do. You
right.
will. It is. I don't think anybody wants to run and get coffee. I know I didn't, especially when I was in corporate America. I know I didn't want to do it, you know. But here's the thing that I think also assistants don't seem to understand is that you are there to do things the key cannot do. The key cannot
right.
leave the set. We can't leave. We can't say, oh, that's all right, girl, I'm going to go get us coffee. We can't leave. We're the ones that are
right.
essential to stay. And that is why we ask you, hey, run to the store and oh, my God, run to the store and get this nail polish for me. I forgot. Run to the store and get this. This is why you're there, because we can't leave. And I think a lot of people don't seem to understand that. They think that we have all the freedom in the world, and we have the least freedom to leave. Even though I know some keys that do leave, and I'm like, well, I'm not doing your job for you. But, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, but it really, honestly, when you have a key that's attentive, we're not leaving. There are times
right.
I can't even go to the bathroom because I can't leave my assistant by herself. So that's something that you guys need to know, that we cannot leave. We have to stay on set. So when we ask you to do things, it's because we can't do it. And it wouldn't look appropriate for us to be running to the store and buying coffee for everybody in the first place. There are positions, and sometimes there's key positions, and sometimes there are assistant positions. And if you're an assistant, there are these little minutiae, stupid things that you think, what the hell? What does she want to do this for? And then all of a sudden you'll say, oh, wow, I didn't know I could use lipstick like that. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, there are little things that you learn along the way, and the little things about assisting that's just going to get on your last damn nerve. You suck it up, and you deal, and you do the job. And if refusing to get coffee for somebody, honey, that coffee is the elixir of life for me. If I don't have my coffee, I could tick-tick boom at any minute. So you really do need to get the coffee for most of us, because we all will tick-tick boom, and that's just not a good thing for a key.
Oh, God.
You know, come on, you know. It's like oh. these little things that, unfortunately, people don't seem to understand. And
right.
those are some of the little things that are in the book. It's explained to them. I wrote the book because I have been an assistant. I have been an assistant on the floor. I have been an assistant on the floor on my knees, cleaning out other people's bags and other people's things. Even when I had my own magazine covers, I was doing that. Then I'm a key. So I'm writing from the point of perspective of a key. Then I'm writing from a perspective of a beauty director who hires at some points 80 people at a time. So I'm looking, I'm hiring, I'm paying, there's a payroll process, all this. So I'm looking at the whole book, and I'm trying to write it from all of those different perspectives, because I remember what it's like to be an assistant. I will never forget what it's like to be an assistant. And I feel you. I feel the assistant's like, oh, man, you know, oh, gee, I feel your pain. I really do. And that's why I write it. And I'm almost, you know how I am. I'm almost talking to you in the book. I'm talking to
mm-hmm.
you. There's points in the book I'm talking to you. you know, directly at you, because it's necessary for you guys to get it. I get you. I get it. I get it more than you will ever know. And that is why I am speaking directly to you, so you guys can understand, ooh, Deshawn really said that. She said that right to me. You know, like, it's serious. It's assisting will, how do you say, it will change your career. It will change your career. It is not a joke. It is not something to take lightly. It could change your whole career. Keys who love their assistants are more than happy to give you jobs. They're more than happy to.
That's right.
More than
That's
happy.
Right.
I have given jobs away to my assistants. They're more than happy to. Or if I have something special, a really cool gig, come with me. You're coming to me on this particular gig because I know that you're going to learn something on this gig that's going to change your career. This is what I'm saying. Assisting is not a joke. It is to be taken seriously. And when you take it seriously and we feel it from you, then we're going to go, well, this is the kind of assistant I want. There's a little example in the book about how, what is it? In the very beginning where I'm trying to get people to understand what researching is, because nobody wants to research anybody. They just want to send out an email. And I'm like, if you just took the time to research this person, that you would have known if they asked you to do something. Let's say I say to a new assistant, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you just make her up for me clean? And then the person shoots back at me, oh, you mean clean like you did in this on your website, like in that area? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need to know me. You need to know what clean means to me. You need to know what avant-garde makeup means to me, not to you, but to me, because that will make you an assistant. That will make you valuable to me. We have to, as assistants, when you reach out to us, we have to see the value of you to us. We have to see
right.
how you are going to enhance my day. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for somebody who wants to bullshit me and say, oh, I love your work, oh, I love your work, oh, I love your work. I'm sick of hearing that. Thank you. I appreciate it. But what I'm looking for is the value. What are you bringing to the table? If you can only bring you love my work, that's not enough, because assisting is a job. It is not there for you to take lessons. It's a job. I'm working. And so I take it very seriously. And that's the other thing that people really need to understand. It's a job. And a lot of people, like, I had somebody who wanted to assist me, and she said to me, I had a class, and she says, oh, I saw that you had a class, but I figured I'd reach out to you to be your assistant because I could learn more. I could save my money, and I wouldn't have to pay. What?
Wow.
Now, if you had taken the class, if you had taken my class, guess what? I would have gotten to know you, correct? I would have gotten to know you. We would have made contact. I would have seen your work. I would have seen your demeanor, right? You would have seen mine. You know, because it's a two-way street, right? Assisting is a two-way street. You don't have to assist everybody. But if you get to know me and I get to know you, that is one step ahead of so many other people. So many. I have an old assistant of mine who she took my class, and she would not leave me alone. And you know what? Love that. She took my class because she kept her in my mind. You know, she kept
right.
saying, I'm here, Deshawn, I was here. She just kept going. And then eventually she became my assistant, and she was amazing because she took it seriously. She took assisting seriously. And that's, I'm trying to stress this so hard. I don't, what's the other word to say? I don't know. You have to take this seriously. If you don't, it's like, what's the old saying? You get back what you put in, right? If you don't really,
right.
if you don't come forth with the professionalism and the skill and the this and the that, you will not be a good assistant. I personally, when I started out, though I started out in heels and looked stupid, I was an excellent assistant because I have something in the book called transferable skills. I took the skills that I had from corporate America, and I'm not just talking about banking. I'm talking about the skills of dealing with my tyrant of a boss who was horrible. The skills of me dealing with customers. I took all of those skills, and even though I've never assisted before, I took them over, and I transferred them to assisting. And when I did that, Sharon thought I had assisted for a while. She thought I at least assisted for like a whole year. She had no idea I never assisted before. She had no idea.
Wow.
She was like, wow. She asked me towards the end, wow, how many people have you assisted? I said, Sharon, you're my first person. And she was shocked. She was like, wow, really? She said, you're amazing. I said, thank you, because I have those skills from another job. If you work at McDonald's, you could be an amazing assistant because you have those people skills, right? You have people skills. You know how to deal with angry customers that want that pickle on that burger, right? You know that. You can transfer those skills over. And that's all I did was I transferred my professional side, my professionalism, and I transferred what I did. Getting coffee, being yelled at, you know, all that stuff is what a makeup artist assistant does. This is what we go through. So it wasn't hard for me. You know what I mean? It wasn't – this is the things that I'm trying to get people to understand. There's so much into this business, and you'll blow the opportunity by trying to be cute and smart and – And
absolutely.
You know what I mean? This is it's hard to make it in this business. It's very hard, and only the dedicated will. Only the dedicated will.
Absolutely. Well, with that being said, everyone should go out and get Sean's book, Hairstylist, Makeup Artist, Stylist. It'll help any of those people and more. Honestly.
I can't believe nobody had a question. I'm pissed. Nobody has a question.
Well, LaShawn, you know how that is.
Oh, my God.
You know how that is. I just knew that many people would have questions or someone would have comments, share their experience, but no one. But what will happen is that they will catch it on the, you know, they go back and replay it, and it'll be too late. You can't ask questions for those who, you know, wasn't available to listen, but for those who were listening, don't have questions. So I guess they'll be emailing you their questions.
And that's what happens after your show. You know, people email me all the time, and
uh-huh.
I'm like, you could have asked me that on the air, and we could have shared the answer with everybody who needs
everybody.
This information.
Mm-hmm.
But I am happy, and I always answer. I always, you know, when your people, especially your people, because I just love you guys. So whenever anybody reaches out to me, sometimes I will even call you up on the phone and talk to you because sometimes I just don't feel like typing that much.
Right. But you know what? I think to answer a lot of their questions, if they just go out and buy the book.
Yes. Yes.
Because.
It's really written to give you guys a soup to nuts. Thing on assisting. It is chock full of information that nobody tells you. Okay? Nobody's going to tell you the truth. Deshaun will tell you the truth. Unfortunately, I tell the truth too much. It gets me in trouble. But I will tell you. I use my example. I use other people's example. I will tell. And I also want to say real quick that people were fabulous. I have quotes in there from some of the top industry people, like Marietta Carden-Arcise is in there, Ted Gibson is in there, Lacey Redway is in there, Monet Everett is in there. I have a lot of quotes to help you. And what's his name? Nick Barros is in there. He does Lupita Nyong'o's makeup. There are people in there who have given of their time to help you. So there are little tiny cool quotes in there that will hopefully wake you guys up to see that even these amazing, stellar artists have assisted, they've gone through it, and they have shared their experiences with you. And that is also included in the book. So there's a lot of stuff
Wonderful.
In this book. And it's pretty. The inside is lovely, and my graphic designer, Julie, did a phenomenal job. She listened to everything I wanted, and it is so – I'm not a girly girl, but I got to tell you guys, the book is so pretty. So when you open it up, if you love orange like I do, it's so pretty.
Nice.
That's all I have to say. It's just a pretty, pretty book, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, assistingrules.com is where you can purchase. I can't wait to get my copies and so I can add it to my collection. So go out to assistingrules.com again, get your copy, and thank you again so much, Deshaun. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Thank you. You know how I feel about you people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. You know how much I love you guys. Really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
We're going to see what we can do to get you down to Atlanta.
Girl, I'll be right
and,
there.
And if I'm in the Maryland, D.C. area, when you do D.C., I'll be sure to come.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Can't wait.
Everybody who didn't ask me a question, that's all right. I'm not mad at you. You still can ask me questions later on when we hang up.
Thank you, guys, those who ask questions or not. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in every Sunday, as always. We'll be back next Sunday. Gia and my sister will be back to join us. She's actually working tonight, so doubt she even had a chance to even try to listen, but she'll be back next Sunday night.
Well,
so again, thank you, guys. I sure will. Everyone have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Deshaun.
Bye, guys. Good night.